Bob was saying earlier, you know, those that write these songs like Lord Hear Our Prayer, they're to be commended for the words that they bow or and write and for us to enjoy through worship and so forth. So beautiful song, well done. Well done. Well, this morning we're going to be looking in Galatians chapter 5. And I want to tie this together with the spiritual walk that we have with the Lord, together with our being patriotic to our nation, those who have served as well. Sometimes in trying to put a sermon together, it's kind of difficult to put the two together, but I hope in this message today you will be able to see what the scripture says along with what we as a nation and the individual are supposed to be. We are accountable to the Lord. He's the one that created us and placed us here, and man has kind of made it difficult through the centuries to find peace and without wars and rumors of wars and the difficulties and the snares that besets us sometimes. But chapter 5 tells us that we are to walk in the Spirit. But I encounter this, freedom comes with a price. And it does, where it be spiritual or the things that are physical that we are confronted with each day. Christ paid the price for the sins of the world.
Yep, he did.
Our men and women have paid the price for the freedom that we all enjoy in the United States, our freedom to come to worship, and we are not to take that for granted. So let's look first of all with verse 1. I'm just going to do the first 15 verses of Galatians chapter 5. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, and do not be subject again, there's that word again, to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been seared by Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brother, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom. There's that word again, freedom. Brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another.
That's right.
Now I want to add the light, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. I didn't have that one up there, but I decided to go ahead and read it because that kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Yep.
This one verse, that verse 16. Now, looking at this scripture and tying it in to what we need to do as believers, as Christians, as citizens of this great nation. This is Veterans Day weekend, the day that our nation observes.
Yeah.
And Veterans Day commemorates and celebrates all those who have served in U.S. Armed Forces, all of them, all five. And it was in 1954, after World War II and after the Korean conflict, that Congress amended the Act of 1938 by striking out our missus. You've heard that word before, right?
Yep.
And inserting it, its place, the word called veterans.
Yep.
So on October the 8th, 1954, the first Veterans Day proclamation was issued by President Dwight D. Eisenhower. We must not forget our country's quest for what I would say religious freedom.
Yep.
We must not forget that quest. Over 200 years ago, we established our freedom here in the United States. Our forefathers who sacrificed coming to the founding of this nation, the sacrifice that they paid. So our country was founded on a strong value of religious freedom, biblical values. If you go back and read about our history, it was founded on these very facts, the biblical values that they were desiring, that our forefathers desired to have, that they didn't have in England at that time. When we came over, that's what was established. So our freedom, however, is slowly being lost as people devalue Christian morals and principles more and more every day. You see it, you hear about it, you read about it. So as biblical morality gradually fades away, immorality, and moral decay are taking its place. And moral decay will eventually lead to collapse of society if it doesn't fail to change its way. So in our passage today, in the scriptures here I'm reading, we will see how the apostle spoke of spiritual and moral decay and how it can lead to the loss of one's spiritual freedom in Christ. That's what Paul was talking about. You started out good. You started your race good. But what happened? The Apostle Paul was saying. And I want to bring out some spiritual application that we can go along. But I want to primarily see this passage to how we can lose our societal freedom and even our country's freedom by tossing aside our Christian values. And that's what I want to talk about. First of all, right here in verse 1, stand firm. That's what Paul says. Stand firm in your freedom. Hold on to it. Don't let it get away. So here Paul stated here how you need to be certain to maintain your freedom. Our freedom in Christ. He freed us from sin when he came to the cross and died for our sin. He freed us from the slavery of sin. And Paul said, don't forget about that. Hold on to it with all your mind. Heart, soul, and mind. As Paul would say in some of his books in Israel. Hold on to it. Don't forget it. And as Jesus says, remember the sacrifices that are paid for the freedom from sin, freedom of our nation. Think about that.
That's true.
We need to think about it. You know, you may have sacrificed friends and family to follow Christ. We all have. You may have spent hours of devotion in learning the Bible in the ways of God. You may have attained an understanding of God's love and grace, which sets you free from the slavery of sin and other things that may be sinners. Now, we also need to be sure not to allow ourselves to become tied up in the chain of spiritual bondage, as Paul talks about here. He talks about grace. He talks about love and mercy. All of these he's talking about. We don't need to forget what God has done for us. So, spiritually speaking, a lot of soldiers have fought hard and lost their lives for our country, freedom. Remember that freedom isn't really free. It isn't. You think about it. Freedom isn't really free. This expression means that freedom actually costs something. It cost Jesus his life, and when he went to the cross, died for our sin. It cost men and women their lives when they went to the foreign fields to fight for freedom that we might sustain here in the United States to keep other foreign lands off of our turf. That's what freedom is. I don't know. Over the years, I've done many, many funerals. And it involved our post, 173 down here. And I have got to know most all of these men. When they see me on the streets, and I say hi, Pastor Mike, and I even take time to just talk to them and thank them for their services and so forth. And many of them have shared some personal things with me about when they was in combat. The things that they endured, the things that they saw, the things they didn't want to see, and so forth. Those who were wounded and was in the hospital for many, many months recovering. And some, in particular one I talked to this week, still has shrapnel and so forth in his body. And sometimes the piece will still surface. He's got one in his face and one just barely missed his jugular vein. Just a smidge of an inch would have taken his life. So he shared with me, you know, the importance of our freedom, and he would do it again. So that's what the sacrifice means. Freedom is not free. So the cost of freedom for us as citizens might be a lot to go or be to let go of some of our own personal wants and for the greater good of others and our nation. Now, let's look at verse 7 through 10. Be careful you are not hindered. That is what Paul is saying here in these verses. Paul stated, you ran well. He said, you started well. And he had mentioned that in some of the other books, especially in Timothy, telling Timothy, you ran well, keep running, keep focused. Guard what God has entrusted in you. So your faith was founded on the truth of Jesus Christ. Your faith, my faith, was trusted on Jesus Christ, the truth of Christ. Or when applied to our nation, this country was founded on the truth of biblical morality. Paul is saying, you started off right. It's good to start off right, and you want to finish right, right? And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul then said, who hindered you from obeying the truth? So he started, you know, very positive. You started right, but who hindered you? So there must have been something going on. If Paul, it caught Paul's eye, and he looked at the Corinthian, Galatian church and the people, not only Galatia, but Ephesians and Philippi, and all of these churches that he was a part of and establishing and writing about them to keep them on track. And that's why in verse 16 he said, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and what? And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So, and then he called the spiritual hindrance a persuasion. In verse 8, he was asking, who tempted you and with what sinful and wrongful information? And see, there's all kind of wrong information going on in our world today. And we've got to be able to discern what is truth and what is error.
Yep.
Because sometimes it is twisted in a way that it seems truth. And if we don't know what God's Word says about any particular thing that is moral in our biblical values, then we will be confused as well as Christians.
Yep.
What moral corrupt message or values have you received and believed? That's what Paul is saying. So, we might ask ourselves this morning, what immoral persuasions are being taught in America? And you hear it every day. And I have, and if we're supporting any of those, we have to ask ourselves that. You know, you get to the point, you just go and watch the news and all the things that are happening in our nations, in our capital, in our universities and things, it's very disheartening, isn't it?
Yep.
And we need to understand, you know, there's a battle. And the battle that's going on in Israel with the Gaza Strip and Palestine, it's a spiritual battle. That's what it's about. And the Lord talks about that. He talks about that in the Gospels and throughout the Old Testament. The spiritual wars that have been from the very beginning, they're going on now. And we've got to stand firm with the freedom that God has given us as believers in Him and as believers and citizens of this great nation. Paul then stated, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's a great saying. That's a profound statement that Paul makes right here in verse 9. If you take one step away from the light, you think about this. If you take one step away from the light, the room actually begins darkness, right?
Yep.
But it's such a small process, you don't even notice that it's happening. That's how things of false things in this world, words or whatever it might be, that's the way it happens. Just as why. See, people never crumble in a day. And may I add that countries never crumble in a day. It's a slow process as a country falls from grace to moral compromise and eventually self-destruction. So when applying this scripture spiritually, this passage of scripture right here spiritually, Paul provides a solution for moral compromise by stating, you will have no other mind. You need no other mind other than the mind of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, 16, Paul said that those who are spiritual will have the mind of Christ. That's so important that we be in the Word daily. Y'all know Nathan, right? I'm so proud of him. He was talking about, he was hunting up in his deer stand, and he was reading his Bible, he was telling me what to read, I said, you was reading in Ecclesiastes 3, he said, yeah. And he said, I was reading A Time to Live, A Time to Die, and he said, I'm reading them down. I looked up, and there was a buck standing right in front of him. I said, what did the scripture say down below, what not to do to the deer? But I was thinking, here he was reading his Bible. And he takes his Bible wherever it goes and he reads it. That's what we need to do as young people. Young people in our generation today needs to read their Bible all the way up to the adulthood. And just think what our nation, the difference it would make in this nation if our young people and everyone we read the Bible every day and get the mind of Christ. That will make your spiritual growth increase tremendously. It will. So, we must be intentional, seeking to have our minds influenced by reading about Jesus Christ and how he lived and he treated others. Our SRMA meeting just a week or so ago, the subject of what's going on in the world today, Israel and everything, came up. And everyone around the table had a different point of view. But it all boiled down to Jesus coming to this earth and he brought love. And if people practice that love, I'm talking about all people, then we would have the mind of Christ. Think about that. But it's not happening right now that way. So we need the mind of Christ and think like Christ and have love like Christ. So we must be intentional in our minds of reading about Christ and how he lived and treated others. That way we can make wise spiritual decisions, glorifying the Lord and honoring our fellow man. And if we hope to maintain freedom in the future, now and the future really, we would do well to learn about the ways of God and the moral standards of what this word says, the Bible. We would do well. All right, let's move on to the freedom is not a license to sin. That's what Paul says in the latter verses here, verse 13 through 15. When Paul spoke to the Galatian believers about call to liberty, verse 13, he meant that they were presently walking in freedom because they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Lord was their Lord and Savior. He then cautioned, Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. See, Paul, doing a transition here, he inserts a positive thinking in there, and then I end up with, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. So when we are walking in freedom, we can take it, we can take it for granted, and it has been taken for granted. This freedom of speech has really been twisted and used to own person's own benefits or groups and so forth. So we cannot forget how we were once held in bondage, whether spiritually or as a people, to forget the great price that was paid for our freedom. Now, we can also forget our original and founding values and fail to remember our moral boundaries. We can forget that. Thank goodness we should not. But at this point, we will begin walking in the flesh, serving its passion and desires, stepping on people who get in our way and doing only what we want to do, not caring about other people or how they feel or how we hurt. And this is Paul's answer right here in verse 13. Through love, serve one another. That's his statement right there. Serve one another. We would avoid all these other things that I just mentioned here, just now. Kind of sum this up this morning. I've kind of had to take a shortcut on this because the time is so short. But there's so much here that we can grasp as Christians to understand what freedom is. Our freedom, first of all, in Christ Jesus. We're free. Jesus freed us from the bondage of sin. And we fight for our freedom here in the United States abroad to keep our freedom here in our nation. And we support other nations as allies as we support them, like Israel, in fighting the spiritual battles they're going through now. All nations have made mistakes. They've made errors. They've made bad decisions. And will continue to make bad decisions unless they get into the Word and learn about this man, Jesus Christ. It can solve all things, personally, domestically, and foreign. He has answered it all. And then our Good News Club was showing Esther how the whole thing has kind of been sovereignty, that God is in control. We know that.
Yeah, it's true.
But things are still happening in this world that are unwanted. It's called suffering and death and so forth. But God is still in control.
Yep, he is.
You believe it, I believe it.
Yep, he is.
And we just got to keep enduring. But in this, in our conclusion here, and what Paul was talking about, loving our brothers as we love ourselves and so forth. Yep. Love is just the opposite of serving oneself. One major key is sustaining a country is serving others before self. That's what Paul was saying here, spiritually and morally. And I want to share some quote from President John F. Kennedy in his inaugural address from January the 20th, 1961. I was in the eighth grade. I remember this. We was able to listen to his inaugural speech. And it happened at 1353, the time was, and that's no share of time. But and I was in eighth grade. He said, let us unite to heed in all corners of the earth the command of, and he used Isaiah 58:6, which says, undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free.
There you go.
And since this country was founded, and each generation of Americans has been summoned to give a testimony to its natural loyalty. Then he said, the brave of young Americans who answered the call to service around the globe, now the trumpet summons us again. And then he goes on to say, I'm not quoting all of the things he said in the novel, but these are the ones that stand out to me. Then he said, and so my fellow Americans, ask not what you can do for your what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. You remember what I said?
Yeah.
And on the spiritual side of that, I might say, ask not what the Lord can do for you, but what we can do for the Lord.
That's right.
To ensure that love continues on, that he brought in from the very beginning. So with a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history the final judge of our deeds, he said, let us go forth to lead this land we love, asking God, blessing his help, but knowing that here on earth, his work must truly be our own.
That's right.
What a good perspective. What a good perspective that the President of the United States would put on the Word of God, leading our nation as it was founded from the very beginning. If we could only go back to that, we would still make an impact in the world today. But as Christians, we've got to maintain our walk, the spiritual walk, he called us, so that we will have the mind of Christ and make good decisions ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for the message. We thank you that your scripture gives us the roadmap. And the only way we're going to find our direction is looking at it as we would a map of the roads and streets that we travel each day, or the journeys that we take to other states and other places. We have to have a road map, or we don't know how to get there. And we can't get there spiritually without your road map, the Word of God. It tells us what freedom is, and the price that it costs you for the freedom from our, the bearing up of our sins, the sins of the world. And the freedom that we have, you have given us through the sacrifice of men and women throughout the years. We praise you, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for your hand, your sovereign hand, your hand of control on our lives and our nations. We just pray in advance, Lord, ahead, forward, that we will still stand strong, and verse 1 says, in our freedom. Stand strong. Hold on to it. Not take it for granted how we got it, but to teach it and live it and promote it. To promote love. Love one another. As you love us. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this invitation now. May we respond as you lead from your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.